Welcome to the weekly roundup, July 29th, 2022, in which I will make a claim that will sound so impossible, so incredulous, so counterintuitive that you may be upset. You may be like, you may not know how to react at first, but I hope to make a very solid case that will lead you to actually see the truth in this and to find a lot of reassurance in this case that I'm about to make. And before I actually make it, right off the bat here, I want to say that I hope it's abundantly clear that I'm here to help anyone who has struggled with sleep to sleep well, to sleep nicely, easily, peacefully. You know, I wish nothing but that for the world. With that said, here is my claim. Poor sleep is evidence of a robust and healthy sleep system. You know, I don't know how you react when you hear that, but when I saw this myself, I was kind of like, it was real eye-opening to me. And I'll tell a story of like, you know, how I felt about this and how it happened in a second. But before, of course, let us do our roundup. So this Monday, we had Insomnia Insight number 467, where we were looking at psychophysiological insomnia, an episode I think is really helpful if you heard that, you know, you have this and you want to learn more about it. Tuesday, we had our Herd Online number 14, where I shared a study that I'd actually been hesitant about sharing for a long time. It's looking at objective versus subjective sleep duration in those who had said they had insomnia and those who said they didn't have insomnia. And the reason I hesitated was that it showed that the objective sleep duration was exactly the same. And hearing that can be sort of like almost, can be almost insulting, or like it seemed like, what are you trying to tell me? And that's why I hesitated about it, but I explain it in much more detail. And I think there's a lot to learn in that episode. And then Thursday, which was yesterday, we had Talk Insomnia number 107, where Betul returned more than a year after her initial appearance as a success story guest. And she talks about life after insomnia. I think if I pick one episode for this week, I would recommend that one. Now, let's go back to this this impossible sounding claim and the background for it. Well, before I went on vacation in June, someone named Doran reached out to me, said, "Hey, I'm a sleep coach. You want to connect?" I was like, "Sure, let's talk." And we did connect last week over phone. So we had about a 1 hour phone conversation. And it was really fun. It was great. He had read all my books, knew so much about our teaching here, and he had some really good questions. He sort of pressed me on certain topics, which was like, how can you, Daniel, how can I be so sure that the sleep system is like unbreakable, robust, solid, nothing can go wrong there? You know, he also asked, like, couldn't it be that some percentage of your followers or clients, they have some gut issue or something like that that is causing their struggles, right? And, it just happened to be that we chose, like, as a health issue, we happen to talk about gut issues when we're talking. But I think what we're going to talk about here is, like, very, very generally applicable. So, when we had that conversation, I thought, you know, we had a very nice conversation, as mentioned, but I felt that there's a way I could probably explain this with more ease and more clarity. And so I pondered sort of our conversation over last weekend, and this, what I just shared above in the intro here, just hit me, and I was like, wow, this is so counterintuitive. But anyways, to sort of kind of build the case and come to the reassuring conclusion, we need to look at like three things, or actually two things before we get there. And one is like sleep disruption versus insomnia. And I think we can start there by asking this question. Can a stomach issue, whatever it is, stomach issue, you can think of one, cause us to have choppy sleep, fragmented sleep, poor sleep? Is that possible? Of course it is. Like, anyone will say yes. You know, anyone who's had like a, you know, particularly someone who's had appendicitis or like, you know, food poisoning or that will attest that that can definitely happen. Now, a slightly different question is this one. Can a stomach issue cause us to have insomnia? And here's the thing. To me, the answer is no, by definition, by definition. And I know, of course, that insomnia, you know, sometimes can be defined as basically anything that happens that disrupts your sleep or makes you sleep poorly, some people use it like that. And then the answer is different. But to me, I define insomnia as a self-perpetuating, ongoing struggle, battle that comes from fear of not sleeping. To me, that is insomnia. And other sleep issues are like sleep disruption. So to me, a stomach issue cannot cause insomnia, but it can, of course, cause sleep disruption. Now, next step here is to ask ourselves, like, why can a health issue or a stomach issue or any health issue really cause sleep disruption? And sometimes it just seems so like obvious that like, of course, my stomach is hurting. Of course, I won't sleep well. You know, I have all this mucus in my lungs. Of course, I can sleep well. This is true. That's true. I mean, that's obviously true. But if we look, we need to look a little further to make, you know, to make the case I made in the beginning here. So I have some questions again here. And the first one is, would you want to wake up if a mouse is nibbling at your toes at night? I don't know why I got that example, but I stick with it. Do you want to wake up if a mouse is nibbling at your toes? Of course we want that. We don't want, a mouse to be able to like eat our toe, right? No, we want to wake up. Like, how about this one? Do you want to wake up if you're about to throw up? Yes, of course we do, right? Do you want to wake up if it sounds like somebody's opening your front door when you're sleeping? Yes, I do. So the point here is that all of these wake-ups come from hyperarousal, you know, from pain or from, a strong emotion like nausea or discomfort from mucus or anything like that, you know. That puts us in like a higher state of alertness in a hyperarousal state. And hyperarousal is the safety break in our sleep system. If you go back and review the gas and brake model This Is Not a Playlist, you can learn more about this. But hyperarousal is a safety break. All these things like the mouse analogy, like that, all that was to illustrate that when the brain somehow thinks we're not safe, it's supposed to wake us up. So sleep disruption really comes from hyperarousal, whether it is like mechanical, like, you know, your pet dog is walking on you and that doesn't hurt necessarily, but it's still like stimuli. It makes you a little bit hyperaroused and wakes you up, or pain or some strong emotion or sound. All that it creates hyperarousal, and it's the hyperarousal that wakes us up. And for safety reasons, this is how the sleep system is designed. It is designed in this way. It's designed for safety. So now we can actually make this impossible sounding claim. When we have a health issue and that issue causes sleep disruption, this is solid evidence of a robust sleep system. This is a sleep system that works exactly as it is designed to do. So going back to this claim again, poor sleep is actually evidence of a healthy and robust sleep system. It sounds really odd, but I think this is true. And when I saw this, when I saw this in my mind, like sleep disruption actually is evidence of like the robustness of our sleep system, I was actually excited because, you know, it was something new. I thought it was true. It sounded like counterintuitive, which is always nice because that, you know, that gets us thinking and gets engagement. And it sounded fresh and new, and also more than anything else, I thought this could be really helpful. And I thought there were like two real reasons that this can be reassuring. And one is that a case we've made before, which is health issues can't cause insomnia. I think that I've made that case before. This is not necessarily new, but I still want to put it here because it can be helpful whenever we have some, you know, where we have an infection or we have some type of health issue, we know that cannot cause insomnia, cannot cause this ongoing struggle. That comes from a different place. But be here, which is new, which is fresh, not only is sleep disruption not a sign that your sleep system is broken, but the opposite. The sleep system is doing its job, which is keeping you safe. That is what it's designed to do. That concludes this week. I hope it's been a really valuable week for you as a member of this community. And I hope you are arriving at where you want to be, where you're sleeping peacefully, you're feeling like yourself, you're living the life you want to live. If you want some more help, though, then that you find in the free content here on your path to where you want to be, then definitely head over to our website and check out our coaching options. If you decide to join, then we look forward to seeing you on the other side. With that said, I'm rooting for you. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and look forward to having you back real soon. Until then.